Thank you for downloading our podcast titled Ensuring Your Message Lands, Reaching Tribal Communities with Multimodal Media Campaigns, presented on April 10th, 2024. To view the webinar video and additional resources, please visit our website, keepitsacred.org, and click the Resources tab and the Webinar Archive tab. Please enjoy our presentation.
My name is Mike Ouellette with the Intertribal Council of Michigan, and welcome to our webinar series, Advancing Health Equity in Native Communities. This webinar aims to reach state and local health departments around the country to advance health equity and address social determinants of health along American, Indian, and Alaska Native communities. This webinar is titled, Ensuring Your Message Lands, Reaching Tribal Communities with Multimodal Media Campaigns. Your presenter today is Hannah Swartz, MPH, Program Manager for the Tribal Vaccine Equity Project and the REACH Project at the Intertribal Council of Michigan. No commercial interest support was used to fund this activity. At the conclusion of this activity, the healthcare team will be able to identify steps to carry out a culturally responsive media campaign, identify potential challenges and barriers to the media campaign to address vaccine hesitancy, and identify steps to start planning their own media campaign. A post-webinar evaluation will be emailed within 24 hours after today's presentation. Please keep an eye on it from Zoom and let us know how we did. Thank you very much, and now I will turn it over to Hannah Swartz.
Hi, everyone. My name is Hannah Swartz, and thanks, Mike, for the introduction. I am a program manager at the Intertribal Council of Michigan, and I'm excited to have you all here today. It looks like we have a pretty good group. Today is the second of our three-part webinar series that we are hosting. Like Mike said, it's called Advancing Health Equity for Native Communities. The webinar series has been made possible by funding from the National Network of Public Health Institutes, NNPHI, really to support state and local health departments who receive the CDC OT21-2103 grant. Today's webinar is Ensuring Your Message Lands, Reaching Tribal Communities with Multimodal Media Campaigns, and it's our goal really to provide you with culturally responsive communication strategies to make sure your messages to tribal communities land from lessons learned throughout our Tribal Vaccine Equity Project. I did see a question in the chat if this will be recorded and shared with participants. Yes, this meeting is being recorded. And we will share. Somebody said there's an echo while I talk.
I don't hear any echo. I think you're all set.
Okay. I think it was Brian who said that. If you continue to hear that, please let me know. But I will go ahead and continue the webinar will be posted on our website, and I'm trying to put it into the chat here. So it will be hosted on our vaccine equity page, so you can always look back at our webinars there. If you have any questions during the presentation today, feel free to put them in the chat. I'll try to address them as we go throughout the presentation, but if I don't make it to it, I'll make sure to leave some time at the end. So yeah, thank you. Having trouble switching slides here. All right, so I do want to give a little bit of background information about the Intertribal Council of Michigan. So we are a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and we are a consortium of the 12 federally recognized tribes in Michigan. We are governed by a board of tribal chairmen and women, and we are located in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, so right on the border of Canada up there, as far north as you can go. Our organization was originally formed in 1968 out of financial necessity. As a consortium of federally recognized tribes, we were able to generate more funding and much needed programming to support tribal communities. And over the years, we have evolved with many different departments and divisions, but we are still acting as a forum for our tribes. We advocate for them in the development of programs and policies which improve education, quality of life, and many other areas for Michigan's Native Americans. And it's our mission to provide technical assistance to our member tribes, assisting in the development of tribal regulations, ordinances, and policies applicable to health and human services. So I'm here from our Department of Health Education and Chronic Disease, and we work on a number of different programs ranging from cancer prevention and control, as well as commercial tobacco, so restoring the, value in traditional use. And then we also work in nutrition, wellness, and a number of different programs. So I do want to highlight the National Native Network. So we administer the National Native Network, which really works as a network of networks consisting of tribes, excuse me, Indian, tribal, herbal, or urban organizations and other health programs working to actually reduce commercial tobacco-related illnesses and cancer disparities among American Indians and Alaska Natives. It has evolved and helped us support other programs like the Tribal Vaccine Equity Project, which I'll be mentioning quite a bit today. And yeah, it's just really turned into an amazing network of information and resource sharing between tribes across the country. And we'll be talking about that today. All right. So today, to make sure messages land, we want to make sure that we're implementing culturally responsive communication strategies because they can really improve relevance, resonance, and reach of project materials. Culturally responsive communication strategies consider factors including literacy, health literacy, written versus visual traditions, historical traumas and injustices, communication styles, images, and references that resonate, preferred, excuse me, as well as preferred or accessible methods of information dissemination. So factors that should be considered, or another factor, excuse me, that should be considered is that even within communities and among even speakers of the same language, people hold multiple intersecting identities that may inform how they respond to communication strategies. So these are all factors that should be recognized, understood, and valued when communicating with diverse populations like tribal communities. And then obviously adapt accordingly, especially when working with American Indian and Alaska Native communities, because their values are much different than Western values, right? There's an emphasis on community instead of self. There's a great value placed on elders and wisdom keepers, and storytelling is how that information is passed on. So, in addition to these values, recognizing that historical trauma has changed how American Indians and Alaska Natives receive health information from government agencies, ultimately changed how trusted community-based organizations like ourselves share information about health behaviors, and today we'll be talking about COVID-19 vaccines. So you can see here on the slide, strategy one of culturally responsive communication strategies is tailoring messages message content, mediums, and messengers to communities. So working with Native communities, there's one thing that I say repeatedly, and I think those who work with tribal communities would say the same, and that a one-size-fits-all approach does not work. There's different languages, values, concerns, laws, right? There's 574 federally recognized tribes in the United States, and they're each sovereign, and they have their own policies, laws, and cultures. So we need to make sure that we're addressing community-specific concerns when we're implementing communication strategies. So that could look like focus groups, feedback loops. It could look, you could look at other forums to address concerns within communities so that you can tailor your messages accordingly. And you could ask, types of messages or images that might resonate. I do see a hand raised. If your hand was raised and you do have a question, feel free to put it in the chat. I'm seeing people pop in and introduce themselves, but if there's a question, please put it in there and I'll try to stop for it. So yeah, when you're implementing culturally responsive communication strategies, you want to make sure we're using visuals to convey cultural relevance. And like I said, that could be different for any community that you're working with, and you really need to have those conversations to understand what they are, and then consider that cultural context. So I want to play a short video, and please stop me or put something in the chat if you cannot hear it. But I want to play this video. And I want you to think about what you see in the video that's culture, what you see, hear, feel that's culturally responsive. And go ahead and put that in the chat. So here's to the video working.
Right now, COVID-19 vaccines are available to our people. Here's some things you should know.
The vaccine does not contain the virus.
You cannot get COVID from the shot.
You don't need to pay for the vaccine. It's free.
You may experience things like muscle aches, fever, or tiredness, but these are most likely signs that your body is building immunity to protect yourself from the virus. We wish for doing your part to protect our people and end this pandemic.
Okay, so just go back here. So if anybody who's interested or wants to participate, could you please put in the chat what you heard, felt, or saw that is culturally responsive in that video? I wish you could unmute, but we don't have that option. Okay, no cost, I'm seeing. Miigwech, local native providers, use of language. What else is culturally responsive? The speaker's t-shirt logo. Oh, now they're coming in. Cultural images, protect our people, protect your tribe. Tribal provider, call to protect the collective. I saw a mixture of folks who seem to represent tribal communities. Patterns on the nurse's lanyard and the scenery, our community. Yeah, these are all great. So when the COVID-19 vaccine came out, there was a lot of messaging, right? And it was pretty general. Seeing a few more, use many speakers, so maybe we could relate to at least one of the speakers, right? So we had a lot of information coming from the CDC, right? And we knew that it was information that we needed to get out there, but it wasn't tailored for tribal communities. It was really for the general population. So I'll get into this a little bit more later, but the way that we created this video was we addressed concerns. We wanted to understand what the concerns were that the communities we were serving were facing. And we incorporated that into the video. And we actually worked with a Native music group to be able to get that music in the background. I don't know if anybody heard that. And then we knew that healthcare providers were trusted sources of vaccine information from that survey that we did. So we incorporated that in there. So just wanted to highlight an example of tailoring information. All right. So another strategy is fulfilling language needs and preferences. So this was really born out of, you know, working with all diverse communities. So incorporating traditional language, I think you heard the word Miigwetch in there. So if there's ways that people can resonate with, you know, some of the words that are in your communications, that's going to help expand your reach, right? And I think also, if your community can't understand your resources, whether that be through language, if you're working with, you know, other communities, or if it's health literacy, if they can't understand what's being said, there's going to be some issues there, right? So we need to make sure that we're tailoring our messages to meet the needs and the health literacy levels of the community or the community that you're, you know, working with. It's also a fantastic time to look inward at your own organization and assess whether or not your staff have the capacity to reach your community. This could be training. This could be working with consultants who might know more about that traditional language, where you could ask them, just because this is a translated word, is this what that means? Because when the COVID-19 vaccines came out, the translated word, there is no really translated word for vaccine. It's like poking somebody with a sharp object, and that's not really what we want people to think of, right, when they get a vaccine. So you could look into trainings. You could partner with outside organizations. On the right side of the screen, there is a motivational interviewing for vaccine hesitancy that we worked with the Alaska Primary Care Association with. And they tailored that communication piece for tribal health providers so that they knew how to have the conversations, because not every tribal healthcare provider is going to be Native, right? So to make sure that they're equipped with the knowledge to have those conversations. And the last strategy that I want to highlight is, you know, recognizing diversity within communities, right? So and this strategy can echo the first strategy that I mentioned, but even if we're working in predominantly Native American communities, if you're trying to get a message across there, people are holding intersecting identities that inform how they respond to communications, right? So these could be things like age, gender identity, religious identity, education level, income level, heritage, an even number of years living within the United States, right? And other lived experiences that we just don't know about. And there's no way to know these things unless we ask. So again, like strategy number one, it's really important to convene focus groups or maybe listening sessions with that subpopulation of people so you can help get a more direct answer that can help with your approach. And then recruiting trusted messengers from the community you're working with can provide you with a consultant of sorts on culturally appropriate outreach, as well as an actual messenger to help get the word out. In many diverse communities, and specifically American Indian and Alaska Native communities, storytelling resonates a lot more than data and statistics, especially when that data and statistics that we're spewing out there is disaggregated by demographic groups. So, sorry, I have a cat trying to crawl up my leg. But sometimes the data that's available and you might think help get your story or your message across, right, is not relevant because American Indians and Alaska Natives aren't always represented in that data and it doesn't tell their story. So we need to think about words coming from wisdom keepers or other trusted messengers to aid in that message, right? So I want to talk about our lessons learned and through the Vaccine Equity Project. Sorry, getting caught up here. So in 2022, very beginning, ITCM was awarded funding from the National Networks of Public Health Institutes to help build a national infrastructure for mitigating the impact of COVID-19. We were one of five awardees, and the population that we served was obviously American Indians and Alaska Natives. And we implemented our project through the National Native Network, our program that we administer, so that we could do this at a national level. And the main goals of the project were to reduce vaccine hesitancy, increase access to vaccines, and ultimately increase vaccine uptake. So we had a multi-pronged approach, which I'm not going to go into too much today, but I do want, and part of that was hosting vaccine events, hosting education events. But the part that I'm going to focus on today is the national media campaign, because we are talking about messaging. All right. And I just wanted to highlight this slide because media campaigns really are an effective public health education tool that can reach both urban and rural communities. They can help shape attitudes, change social norms, and increase health behaviors. And then as the slide says, the influence of group identity is tied to individual vaccination behavior and attitude. And then several vaccination studies provide support that individuals are more willing to be immunized if they perceive their peers are also likely to do so, either through social normative acceptance or through imitation, right? So they are effective. And unfortunately, at the time, back in 2022, there weren't many, campaigns or tools tailored to tribal communities. So we wanted to do that ourselves. All right. So we worked with an organization called Spitfire Strategies. They are a communications firm. They can be really helpful in case anybody's looking to do something along these lines. And we implemented a survey, an online survey, to understand vaccine concerns that were going on at the time. We wanted to know information sources where people turned to find vaccine information. We wanted to know about words and visuals that came to mind when thinking about health and well-being and protection, as well as phrases that resonated well about the vaccine. We did incentivize our survey with an Amazon e-gift card, which was attractive both to humans and bots. So I would caution using online gift cards, but if incentives do help. And we wanted to understand this information to identify core messages, keywords, trusted messengers, really to tailor our campaign. Once that was analyzed, the survey results told us what those common concerns were, and that was possible side effects, and safety of the vaccine. The most common information sources were, surprisingly, cable TV, and then also social media, and then also healthcare providers. And words and visuals that came to mind were care, arrows, and we made sure to incorporate those into our brand and logo. And I'm thinking, let me just hop back to the slide before. You can see our logo here, Care For Us, By Us, and there's four different arrows all pointing towards each other in the medicine wheel colors. So very significant in Native American culture. So that's just an example of how we tailored and created messages that we got feedback on. I'm seeing a question in the chat is, so it's Spitfire instead of Spotlight, but Spitfire Strategies, a company that works only in Michigan, or do they have the ability to work elsewhere too? I'm pretty sure they work across the country because they've got employees in DC, Colorado, they've got employees all over. So I would recommend reaching out to them, and I'll put Spitfire Strategies there in the chat. So they can really help. You know, if you don't have that experience or knowledge on your team, they can support you in whatever way that you need. They were a contractor that was part of our project, so I don't know how it goes about, you know, like creating that contract with them, but really, really helpful, and they have a great team. I got ahead of myself here, and I do want to tell you, when we were designing this media campaign, we looked at IHS and CDC to see where the lowest vaccine uptake areas were, and we targeted our online survey in those areas so we could get feedback from those areas of low vaccine uptake. And I think one important piece when we blasted that survey out on social media was that people who are vaccine hesitant probably aren't searching for, you know, vaccine equity or hashtag vaccinated or hashtag, you know, anything to do with vaccines. So when we put that survey out, we incorporated hashtags like Native beadwork or, I'm forgetting some of the hashtags that we used, but they didn't have to deal with vaccines. It was more health and well-being. So people who are interested in being healthy can get information about the vaccine, right? So just think kind of shifting how you are tagging different pieces that are going out on social media. I'm seeing Robbie, did you put ad spend behind an ad for the survey, or how did you go about getting responses? So like I mentioned, we did incentivize it. We did $30 e-gift cards. Which I do think was helpful, but we did have to kind of deal with the bot situation. In 2022, it was kind of easy to spot bots based on like their email address. I will say we've done it since then, and I don't know if they've gotten smarter or AI has come into play, but it's more difficult to deal with surveys because there's a lot of interest, but that did help with our response rate. And I think it was Facebook. You're able to say, you know, like, I want to spend $50 to boost this post, which had the survey in it. And you can boost it to different areas that you're looking to target. So I think it was zip codes we put in. And that was one way that we were able to get a better response rate that we did spend some money on. So I hope that answers your question. And then, yeah, so that was kind of the development of the survey. And then we did spend money on the dissemination of our products, right? So we did paid media. And we, like I said, in the survey, we found out people were getting their vaccine information from TV. So we wanted to make sure to have our message there. And I'm not sure if folks have heard of Spectrum Reach, but they are a national organization, and they not only have cable TV, but also streaming. So we know that folks use a lot of streaming services like Sling, Philo, Fubo, like Hulu's in there, like the ones that have ads. I know some of them don't, so that your information wouldn't be shown there, but they would on the ones with ads. And then we also partnered with Good Health TV, which is a Native organization, and they have videos that are a lot of times in health clinic waiting rooms. So people are waiting, you know, for their doctor's appointment, and the PSA would be played there. And then, like I mentioned, we again boosted on social media. So to kind of targeted where our information would go. Same with TV, we were able to plug in zip codes. We were able to plug in age ranges. So there's a lot of tailoring that you can do with paid media. And then same with radio. SXM was a new partner that we worked with. We do some in-state media, but this was a national level, so it was a little bit different for us. So SXM is like SiriusXM that's in cars. People in cars can get that. And then also Pandora. A lot of times people use the Pandora app on their phone. And if you've ever done that, there's like a picture when your ad plays, even if it's just radio, but there's a picture and you're able to click on it and it will take, you know, the user to your campaign information or your website or wherever you want them to be taken to. So that was really, really helpful. And we saw a great return rate. They all offer great reporting information too. So you can understand like what the reach is, how many people are clicking on your ads or messages. So I would definitely look into these different avenues if you're trying to get your message out there. Realize I'm going way faster than I thought. So if there's more questions, if you feel like I glossed over something, please let me know. I wanted to highlight the impact. This is just for the TV ads. So like I said, we were able to target in different areas where we did see low vaccine uptake. And there was a lot of low vaccine uptake on the West Coast, as you can see here. And that those bubbles and also the size of the bubbles are the size of the impression. So I guess I don't have the best explanation of impression as far as communications goes, but it does kind of tell you the reach. Which we were very happy about that. We saw, we reached over 176 cities. Thank you, Mike. He just put in the chat, impressions are the number of times that an ad has been displayed, right? So we were able to reach over 176 cities with this media campaign across the United States, reaching screens nearly 139,000 times. The reach was over 611,000 with 75 shares and 5,000 link clicks, right? So I think the most important number out of those three is really the link clicks, because that means that somebody saw your message and they made the effort, the intentional effort to click on it to learn more information. They wanted to know where to get vaccinated or what this message is all about. They were interested, right? So that's a super meaningful, I guess, evaluation metric, right? All right. And then in addition to our own social media, we also worked with social media influencers who can really act as a trusted messenger. I will say there is a difference between trusted messenger versus social media influencer. Trusted messenger is probably somebody who's going to be in your community, in that subset of population that you're really focusing on. So in our case, we were focusing on young adults, 18 to 35. As you can see here, the two social media influencers that we worked with are around that age, or within that age. And we worked with them to help us get the message across. When you're thinking of maybe your social media platforms, if you're an organization, like a health department or, you know, tribal serving organization, the folks who follow you might not be the exact people you want to reach. It might be other organizations or health focused people who maybe already got vaccinated, but you want to reach the people who you can't, right? So that's when you might work with a social media influencer. And, you know, we sat down and we're very intentional about this. We wanted to make sure that they had the same values that we were looking for. So whether that's a conversation up front, we wanted to understand what their following consisted of, which you can ask. You can ask, you know, do you know what age range of people follow you, or age range of people that interact with your posts, right? So you can ask all that up front and decide, yeah, these people are probably who can get our message out there. I will say social media influencers, there's a range of costs that can be involved, depending on, you know, like how popular they are. So that was a whole new territory for us when we did this project. And I'm going to skip forward just a second. We actually put together a guide for working with social media influencers for public health promotion. So if you're interested in this guide, I'm going to again put the website in the chat, but you can find it on our website. And that, you know, use that as a resource. But like I said, determine your goals, decide who's going to fit your needs best. And then we actually provided a lot of guidance. So people like social media influencers because of the content that they create, right? But they might need some key points to hit, like if they're not super familiar with the lingo or I guess the message that you're trying to get out there. So we had some bulleted points that we provided and we said, here you go, please make a video that will resonate with your audience. And then we asked them to provide us with a draft, make sure it aligns correctly. And then they posted it on their channels and then we were able to share it and also post it ourselves. So it's a really great tool. And I was excited to see some of the comments that people were posting on the social media influencers page. So I'll read the quote here and it's, vaccine education is so important. Too many people think it's an end-all solution or don't understand what a vaccine means and does beyond the frightening words and Facebook basement doctors. Thank you for speaking and sharing. We need to keep our loved ones as safe as we can and a start is understanding how these things work, the benefits and the cons as a whole. Sending love. So like I was saying before, although that's not data, that's not quantitative data, that's qualitative data, and that really could help somebody change their mind on getting vaccinated. And it could change their mind on other health behaviors too, if that, you know, if you're not looking for vaccination. Overall, we did see a great turnout of these two different videos. I wish I could figure out how to play them for you, but it just wasn't working so well. but they really incorporated the cultural tailoring like we did in our video, but on a different scope. So it was neat to see. So on the two posts, we had over 1,000 or 1.3 thousand likes, 17,000 views, and over 50 comments, mostly positive. We did have the anti-vaxxers out there, but I think that's going to come with any vaccine message now. But really a nice tool to have in your toolbox when reaching out and making sure your message fits with the audience that you're trying to reach. So I do see a comment in the chat from Trudy. Was there an emphasis for urban areas instead of rural areas that were deeply impacted of sovereign nations? So there was, I will say, I wish we would have incorporated that, Trudy. We were working under the time constraints of a 6-month project period, not just the, you know, the media campaign. So if we would have had a bit more time, I think we would have put more of an emphasis. But I think you can definitely do that, right? You can target different zip codes, and you can find the different sources of information. So maybe it's not TV. Maybe there's not, you know, the infrastructure there that supports TV. Maybe you're working in a really rural area where billboards might be more appropriate in putting your messaging there, right? It wasn't done in this, but it's definitely something that can be done. And we do a lot in Michigan because we work with a lot of rural communities. So thank you for asking that. Let's see here. I wanted to put the social media influencer guide on here for anybody who is interested in learning more on that. But overall, that was our campaign. We did paid, we did unpaid, we worked with social media influencers, other aspects that weren't really part of the media campaign, but communications were training staff, healthcare providers in tribal communities with information on how to have conversations about vaccine hesitancy. So there's so many different approaches that you can take when trying to get your message out there and making sure that the community that you're serving is supported. And I hope this gave you some ideas and, ideas and strategies that you can use to implement culturally responsive communications. So I realized that I spun through that. So we do have quite a bit of time for questions. So is there any questions that I can answer for you? Anything that I could specify? I tried to answer throughout, but if there's any lingering questions, please feel free to put them in the chat. And as we do that, Mike, I don't know if you want to talk about the evaluation.
Sure. So while folks are putting their questions into the Q&A box, we are going to be sending on an evaluation. If you want to let us know how we did today, the evaluation will come from Zoom. I'll also try to send out a link tomorrow to everybody that participated as well. Also, as Hannah mentioned, we will have an archive of today's presentation, including the slide deck, video. We'll also have a podcast if you know of anybody that wants to listen to it while they're out on on the road if they're not listening to their Sirius XM in the car. And we'll go ahead and make sure that everything is all archived. Just visit our website at keepitsacred.org. Click the resources tab and click the webinar archive tab. And the webinars will all be archived there. So it looks like that you've got a couple of questions coming in already, Hannah. I don't know if you want to read them off.
Yeah.
You want me to read them? Yeah.
Yeah. So I see a question from Sarah, and it says, what advice do you have for identifying and avoiding bots in online surveys? I will say we're still learning. Back when our initial survey was out there, the email addresses were, like, instead of .com or .org, were .ru, just things that we really didn't see before. I don't know if there's a great way of confirming that they were bots, but that was definitely something that we saw that we weren't familiar with and had a little bit of skepticism. In other work after this, we noticed, you know, we put out the online gift card giveaway or you know, participation, and we noticed that we got a bunch of the same message from different people, like the exact same message. So I would be cautious if you're getting an influx of the same exact message from folks, maybe in an email. Other than that, I don't have a great answer for you, Sarah, but I would definitely be cautious and put like the CAPTCHA or whatever, where it asks you to type out the letters and numbers that you see. That's a good way to do that. But if anybody else has suggestions, you should put those in the chat. I'm interested. And then I see another one on here. Do you anticipate using these channels you worked so hard to create for COVID-19 vaccine for other purposes, such as, for instance, RSV vaccine or chronic disease awareness? So as COVID has kind of evolved over the years, right? And we know that other vaccines were put on the back burner, so we're seeing that we do need to increase vaccinations in other areas. We can take these lessons learned and implement them. And actually, what we did with our campaign, it used to be "Care for Us, by Us, Tribes United to Fight COVID-19." Now we kind of shifted it to "Care for Us, by Us, the Tribal Vaccine Equity Project." So we have the opportunity to advocate for other vaccines, right? So we would definitely do some of this same background surveying to make sure that we have the right messages for those kind of vaccines. So thanks for asking that, Bindu. Robbie, would you have tips or possibly a template of your survey questions you like to ask to help inform your campaigns? Yes. We don't actually have that on our website, but the NNPHI, let me see if I can find it for you, but NNPHI has been working on creating a guide for CBOs, and they have all of our tools that we used. So that should be, we're kind of finalizing that. That should be coming out before July. And we will make sure to put that on our vaccine equity website that I put in the chat before. So I don't have it now, but it will be in the future. And I can see if maybe we can add that to our website beforehand. So soon. And I see another question in here. Is the social media influencer toolkit the only one you have for campaigns, or is there more on your website? So great question. I think what I'm going to do, since we have a little bit of time, is bring up our website. so you can see it. If I can figure it out, I'm going to stop sharing. I'm going to share a website. I hope you all can see it. we have our Tribal Vaccine Equity Project. It is a little bit of, you know, it's a little clunky. You might have to search through here, but we have adapted resources where we took information from the CDC and adapted it so it has that representation of for tribal communities. These are all downloadable and you can use them. There's also, if you print one, there's QR codes. So if, you know, you want to share them with other people, they can find them there. We've got, you know, a vaccine chart. We have information for healthcare providers. So I really like this one, talking about vaccines in tribal communities. So maybe this is a resource that you can hand out to healthcare providers who work in the tribal communities. You know, talking about respecting traditional communication in Native communities. These are all great pieces. Here is that guide to working with influencers for public health promotion. We also have ready-to-go posts. These are for COVID-19. We don't have any for other vaccines as of now, but you can, these are on Canva if you've ever worked with it, and you can put in, you know, your information of where you can get vaccinated. We have the caption all ready to go for you. So that is a resource. We have a social media toolkit as well as our PSA, which we are really proud of. And I'm going to see if we can play this right now. Actually, no, I won't. But this is a PSA that was created out of this project. So all resources that can be utilized. I'm trying to keep up with the chat here. Yeah, absolutely. We love to share any resources. So up at the top is really the resources that we created. And then we have additional resources that can help you with vaccines. There's past webinars that we've hosted. There's trainings, online free trainings about communicating about vaccines. So we really hope this to be a resource hub for you and something that you can use to reach tribal communities. So I'm not seeing any more questions in the chat. I think I answered the one in the Q&A from Sarah. But if you have any other questions, we have about 8 minutes. So yeah, and I don't think I put my email in here. Sorry about that. But if you do have any questions, my email is in the chat now, and you can feel free to reach out to me. I think it's also on the website, so you can find it there. And I really appreciate you coming to our session today. Our last and final session of the series is going to be on May 1st at 3 p.m. Eastern. Feel free to get registered for that. I don't have the registration link, but it does come out from our National Native Network. Our National Native Network listserv. If you haven't subscribed to that, make sure to do so. It's at our website, keepitsacred.itcmi.org. So you can get signed up there. All right. Mike, if you want to close us out, any other details?
Thank you again, everybody. As Hannah mentioned, if you visit keepitsacred.org, you can go on the homepage there and you'll see an area where you can sign up for our e-newsletter. And you can go ahead and sign up and you'll be notified of upcoming webinars and other events that we've got going on. Also, again, keep your eye out via email. Again, as we will be sending out evaluation, just, you know, to let us know how we did on the presentation today. And otherwise, let your friends know that under the resources tab, you'll see the webinar archive tab. And that's where the webinar for today will be posted. We'll have the video from today's presentation along with the slide deck and any other additional resources as well. So with that, thank you very much. We will sign off for the moment, and we'll let you guys have about 6 minutes left of your hour here. Thank you very much, and enjoy your day.
Thank you.
To view the full webinar video and additional resources, please visit our website, keepitsacred.org, and click the Resources tab and the Webinar Archive tab. Thank you for listening to this Webinar Archive presentation. Okay.